This is CliffCentral.com.
Amanda, you like this, right?
Love it.
Are you partying this weekend?
Actually, I think I am. My parents have, well, my whole family's gone to Durban for a week.
Oh, very nice.
So you have a house to yourself?
Yeah, for, well, until next week, Friday, yeah.
Those were some of the best times growing up, was when the parents would leave the house in your hands. Yo! And all you had to do was make sure it didn't burn down.
So you're having a house party?
I don't think so, because
you're too responsible. You
and now they know.
It stresses me out that people are going to break stuff.
Yeah,
and just like mess. Already, I'm thinking of having a bra, and like, whenever I have a bra, my parents aren't there. Like, I literally put everyone outside, give them like paper plates and paper cups, because I do not want no.
Yeah,
I heard a story about. You know, summer's coming up and people are having pool parties and all that kind of thing. I heard this horrible story about how someone tripped and slipped and cut their head open and bled out at a pool party. And then the whole, like, the host was, you know, charged with murder.
Oh.
And it just made me so paranoid. I don't want to have people at my house. So I'm totally with Amanda.
Yeah. I'm just closing up my pool and using it, setting it to the people in Cape Town.
Someone slips and they slip and fall and they cut their head, and suddenly you're charged with murder?
True.
Can you imagine that? That would be awful.
I suppose when you're inviting people, you've got to go, who's the clumsy fool?
Yeah.
And doing running around sharp objects and things.
Yeah.
You know. And drunk people, because you don't have to be clumsy. You just have to be drunk to fall.
And also, you got to know that person when they're drunk.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, I'll invite Bali and stuff, but I don't know that when she's drunk, maybe she does some weird thing.
She
does. And,
and other people do weird things when they're drunk as
she
well.
She absolutely does.
Runs around with her skirt on her head. Yeah.
Sure. Setting fire to things.
Mm. What also happens is, like, you'll invite one person and then they'll bring 10 people.
No.
And you see the randoms are the people that just don't care about your stuff.
See, again, no invitee number one. You must know this guy inside out. You must know this guy to know that I'm bringing him to my house. He's not going to bring a random with.
But I feel like if you're inviting someone into your space and they do that, you are well within your rights to say, okay, so these 10 people are going to go and you are welcome to leave with them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You are well within your rights to do that.
Yeah, and you have to draw the line, because otherwise you suddenly have like some creepy, whacked out drug addict running around your house breaking stuff. You don't need that.
Mm-mm. And what's happened before is I've had like
trying to have sex with your dog.
No, not that. But like, I've had a party and people come
I apologize.
They just help themselves to anything. Like at my house, we have a bar, and then you'll just get that person that just like thinks it's their house.
I once found someone rearranging the books on my shelf. Because they were just drunk. They walked into the house and they just started I said to them, look, you've got to go now. You're irritating me. Things are not going to go well from here. Everybody else is having a good time.
And especially when they're on their own in the other room.
I mean,
if everyone's having around playing 30 seconds good time.
You're always sneaking Jeffrey? Around the house for. It's stupid, right? So I just chased him out and he went. Luckily, these days you could call someone an Uber and get rid of them. Even if it costs you 40 Rand or whatever, it's worth it.
You know, just get them an Uber, but they just take them far enough away that they can't get you back home, but not to their house.
Just to a garage down the road.
There we go.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm at the Adichos, Mark. Can you pick me up?
All right, let's get into some news. Mubs, what do we need to know?
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about this Cyril Ramaphosa story that you mentioned in the five things that we need to know, Gareth, because you know the saying, it all goes down in the DMs, but in this case, WhatsApp messages are suggesting that Ramaphosa is possibly going to be axed. So the speculation mounts about the deputy president's future. Several people working in his campaign say they are concerned he may soon be axed by number one. The countdown has begun. It's less than 60 days to go before the ANC elective conference. The battle for the leadership of the party is indeed in full swing. And Ramaphosa's position in the wake of yet another cabinet reshuffle announced by the president on Tuesday is suggesting that he may very well soon be out of a job. These WhatsApp messages purportedly sent between Ramaphosa's campaigners have emerged, suggesting that he'll be gone from cabinet before December. The texts mention an alleged intelligence report that campaigners say has already been cooked and will be used to charge the deputy president with treason.
Jesus.
So he cannot stand for election as ANC leader.
That's so snaky.
Dude.
Everything's been so snaky for so long that we've just become sensitized to it.
Yeah,
but bottom line is, why can't we just do so?
We can't break out of this thing. You see, this kind of happens when one person manages to get a whole lot of stooges and cronies in positions of power around them. Mm. They form a wall, and we've got to break through that wall. He's got a money wall with the Guptas. He's got an incompetence wall with his ministers. You can't get to this guy. And now he's even got security guards and task force military guys.
I saw the other day the TV clip, and he was walking to open a road.
Yes.
And I was like, are they going to open the road or to fucking destroy it? Because it looked like they were going to just...
He had military guys around with full camo gear. And apparently this is how he's traveling around at the moment. So the guy is super paranoid.
And then also in the same week, this week, the King of Holland went to meet the Prime Minister on his bike. He just jumped on his bike,
right.
And he rode to the parliamentary gates, and they opened it up for him, and he put his bike against the side, and he went and had the meeting, and then came back and jumped his bike and bounced.
Yeah.
A bicycle.
Not a chance with our president.
In Norway, the president, his number's in the phone book.
Yeah, you can phone him.
You can just phone him, and he has a thing on like once or twice a month or once two or three times a year, where him and his wife just make pancakes for people.
Yeah.
And they open the door, and you can just walk to the Norwegian or Finnish Prime Minister's house and get pancakes and coffee.
Mm-hmm. And we've got this super paranoid tyrant who doesn't seem to be able to understand that it's just time to go.
So a whole lot of MPs were, you know, asking the Deputy President some questions in the National Assembly yesterday. For example, EFF MP Floyd Shivambu asked Ramaphosa, listen, like, what are you able to tell us? Are you indeed going to become the President's next victim? To which Ramaphosa said, well, you know what? It's entirely up to the President. He said that he's not privy to why the President appointed or removed all the ministers that he did earlier this week.
No, nobody knew. He just did it all on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Ramaphosa also said that, you know, he will continue serving South Africa should Zuma axe him. But I don't know, my guy. Like, if you are potentially going to be facing treason charges.
Yeah, but now is the time, Cyril. Why don't you stand up? You know, this is what irritates me, is that everybody's following the rules when the rules have been broken by the number one guy.
Yeah.
Many times over.
What are you still following the rules for? I mean, I listened to Cyril talking yesterday about how he might be removed. It just proves to me that everyone in the ANC is so compromised right now. Not one of them has a spine. True. Not one of them can stand up straight. They've got zero morality, credibility, and decency. Just, why don't the bunch of you just roll over and let him drive over you like sheep?
Because I think they know that everybody has dirt on everyone else. So they're all afraid to go, who's the first one to fess up?
So someone...
Because it's the first person to fess up that gets it, they'll be like, okay, we'll give you some sort of immunity or something. Then it will happen. So that conversation must start happening now. They must start saying, if you number one to pick up your hand, then you can go sit in the nice corner and have a picnic. But if you number 14 to pick up your hand, guess what? It's not a nice corner and there's not a picnic there.
So it's a case of, if we take the president down, he's definitely not going down by himself. He's going to take all of us with him.
No, but you see, the thing is not in other situations, like a Ponzi scheme or whatever, like Bernie Madoff, I just recently watched that movie.
Isn't
and
great.
Fantastic. Mm. Yeah. And he goes, well, it's maybe him and a couple of guys. Where now, we got to believe, we have to suspect that it's absolutely everyone.
Well, that this is the point.
If the cabinet or the ministry or the ANC decides at the NEC, guys, we are 164 members of the NEC or something, we all going to have to go down. Then that's why they've been picking up objections. If it was six people, you're telling me 160 people can't kick out the six people?
No,
it's because the balance is out.
That whole argument that's been going on for years now about how there are good people in the ANC and they're by far the majority, they're not.
Show their face.
You're exactly right, Robin. The numbers are obviously skewed the opposite way. There are more corrupt criminals and people who have axes hanging over their heads than there are good people.
True.
So the ANC is totally compromised and rotten. We've got to move away from this organization. It is poisoning the water.
Mm.
It's making it impossible for anyone to do anything normal and to be honorable, to be decent.
And the longer it goes, it just means that this kind of weird reprehensible behavior becomes a norm. And so then everybody just kind of goes, well, I'll just park my car wherever the fuck I want to.
Yeah, because exactly. Or I will just
push this trolley
it.
Wherever the hell I want
Why
to.
Why should we listen if the president doesn't even follow the rules?
Yeah. Correct.
And here's the other thing is everybody's talking about the stuff that we know about that's happened in the past. You know, these Eskom deals that were dodgy and Gandla, all of the Kulubuse Zuma Aurora thing. What we aren't talking about because we don't know is the stuff that's going on right now because we know he's desperate. Who knows what he's doing right now? Remember, Malusi is his puppet. He's running the treasury. Jay-Z could be filling up vans with money and driving them away at the moment.
And again, I'm going...
He could be using those military flights that we don't know that leave and return whenever they want. And he could be stuffing anything onto those planes.
Now, what was very telling for me was Julius Malema said this in a press conference almost a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. What when did he
said,
say?
He said, the Money's Guptas and Zuma, they're taking billions of dollars to Dubai. Do you know what was also telling was that if someone goes, if I left now and you're like, hey man, did anyone see my laptop? I think Rabin took your laptop. Mm. He'll be like, oh shit, we got to get Rabin back. He's got the laptop. When Julia said there's billions of rands leaving this country, and it was a year and a half ago, not a single peep. Not one person said, how dare you say these things? No. How can you do? So what does that mean?
Know it's happening.
Yes, you got it. Because they don't want to open up the trough. They don't want to open up the thing to go, not even invite an investigation. Just shut up.
Yeah, pretend nothing's happening.
Pretend nothing. Just go, it's this crazy guy talking crazy words.
Like Justice Malala was saying yesterday, if it were true that these people were innocent of these supposed charges, if they all had clean hands, they would take you to court.
Yeah,
for defaming them. These are ministers. These are people with reputations. You know, people with they want to have a career going forward. Mm. If you tar me with the same brush as all the crooks, I'm going to go, hang on a second. I'm Correct. Suing you for that.
How many times have they sued Zapiro?
No, well, they've tried.
Or Cartoon, so they tried you, whatever. Because it's a point of...
but they don't attack the journalist who accuses them of stealing out of the till.
Correct.
Anyway, look, I mean, Cyril is... I think if he's got a long game here that none of us are seeing, he's either so
a
much
genius.
Cleverer. He must have figured out every possible outcome, and he's got a solution to it, which would make him
King Dingling. Yeah,
right. And in that case, I'll be happy for him to be president. If not, if it is what we think it is, if it is what it looks like, then Cyril is as spineless and useless as everybody else in that crap.
You know, every time I see these guys, I get this weird idea of. You know, sometimes like I'm cleaning a kitchen counter or something, and you get those tissue papers from the big Carlton roll, the kitchen towel.
Yes.
And you pull a piece off, and then you just put it in, you wipe the thing up, and then it just becomes this little sloopy white paper mess in your hand that you got to run through the kitchen to throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
And every time these guys sit in front of a podium or stand in front of a podium and don't say anything, I just see them as this little sloppy, wet kitchen towel that doesn't, it's actually useless now. All you need to do is you want to get it to the bin as quickly as possible.
Throw these people in the bin as quickly as possible. There's your takeaway from that story.
Just as an aside, because yesterday they unveiled a statue of
Tambo.
Oliver Tambo at Oliver Tambo International Airport. And Tula Sizwe Simelane is a journalist for ENCA. And he tweeted, Zuma's speech writers will never learn. They wrote 2.5 meters height of O.R. Tambo statue. Zuma read it 2.5 million rand. And then he says, why not write words for the president?
Yes. Because
the president
gave
a speech.
Font size 47.
Because
portrait or landscape. Size A3.
Here's the problem is that there's no one good around him. He's just appointed loyal and dumb people so that he can be the King Dingaling.
Shoot.
I like your turn.
That's a takeaway.
Struggle stalwart Winnie Madikizela Mandela has been admitted to the Milpark Hospital. They released a statement yesterday. No, it's fine. Apparently, she was admitted to the hospital for what her people are saying is a minor procedure on her knee.
We need her in the coming months. We need anybody who's got a little bit of character and some clout. We need people who can rally. I mean, she's defined already that she's not on the side of the state capture people. So we need her. We need the likes of her. Winnie, get better quick. You got a month, baby.
Well, Yeah, because they're saying that it was a minor procedure on her knee, but the statement also said that she is going to be kept at the hospital over the next 2 weeks, and that is apparently to ensure that she has adequate rest.
See, there again.
And that her progress can be monitored closely.
The minor procedure on the knee, 2 weeks. Other minor procedures like I've got an ingrown toenail and I've got to see the podiatrist. It happens to be in the hospital.
My mother went for an eye operation this week.
Back by 4 o'clock.
It took 15 minutes. That worries me.
I had 7 extractions about a year and a half ago.
What?
Yeah. I had like
teeth.
Yes.
7.
7.
The souls of ex-girlfriends.
What the fuck's going on in your mouth? 7 extractions.
And I was home by 4 o'clock.
Dude, how come you have to have 7 extractions? What's going on with you?
I had 4 compacted molars. I had 3. That was crazy. Guys, look, you can do them. You can do the left side now, and you can do the right side later. And
oh, wow.
Come so back and do the hokey pokey. I was like, no, just get it all done. Then it's like, okay, well, anesthetic. Go in.
That's major. I mean, how did you eat? Did you only drink through a straw?
I lost 9 kgs in a week.
Oh, yeah.
I drank through a straw, and it was just soup, basically.
That's heavy stuff, dude. Yeah.
I'll tell you what heavy stuff is.
Yeah.
According to stats that have been released this month by Manpower Group, South Africans are working on average 9 hours a day, which equals a total of 45 hours per week. And this is longer than any other country in the study.
Wow, that's not good.
Sure. The total workforce index revealed that South Africans also earn less than their African, European, and Middle Eastern counterparts. The average South African monthly salary is around 18,000 rand, compared to the regional average of 25,000 rand, and the global average of 26,000 rand.
I mean, it's time to move. Yeah. If you
not far, just Namibia.
Anywhere, just take a couple of steps north.
Go to Botswana, yeah.
Here's the deal. If you're working longer hours and being paid less than anyone in the world, it's a disaster.
With and plus all this other looting happening around, then at some point you're going, but, I mean, guys, come on.
Yeah.
I was,
That's depressing. I thought we'd have good news on a Friday, Mubs, really.
I'm sorry, but...
Now you have to tell us the truth, I know.
I know. Would you rather know the truth or would you rather be the...
You can handle the truth.
The ostrich with its head in the sand.
No, you're right.
In short, we work more and get paid less than almost any other country in the world. That's
and who's on the opposite side of the scale? Who are these lucky Scandinavian fools
Scandinavian.
Who get to paint nails for $1,000 an hour?
I work 4 hours a day and get paid 100,000 krona.
I was telling you about one of my exes who now lives in the Netherlands, and he has 4-day weekends. He doesn't work on a Friday.
Yes,
he just doesn't go into work. So, yeah.
Good times over there.
The report also revealed that South Africa has a workforce of 21.12 million individuals, and only 27% of that number are considered highly skilled, with 34% of the workforce consisting of millennials. Wow. We're not
even in there, Gareth.
We have zero skills.
What highly skilled level do you have? But you've got degrees, you've studied.
No,
you've
well, got some please, bookmarks. What's a history and international politics going to do for you?
Go to Scandinavia, you'll work less hours and earn more money.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently, you're not allowed to store more than 5 liters at a time in Cape Town of water. Otherwise, it's considered stockpiling. I mean, these are all... This is not a fact. This is just a message that came in to me. So I don't know if this is true. And then there's this dude who sent me a picture of his reverse osmosis machine. He gets a 2,200-liter tank, and he can recycle his own water. He's connected the whole house's gutters, paving, and the borehole. And if it rains 1 millimeter, it harvests 240 liters.
Wow.
That's amazing. And it goes straight into these tanks.
Does it mention anything about him having any friends at all or doing anything?
I don't think if this guy survives, all
his
friends
true. You
got to
be with him, correct. Right. My wife's always on about the zombie apocalypse. Right. She's like, you got to get a live on a lake.
Is she paranoid about that stuff?
Sometimes. Mm. So she goes, you got to live on a lake on an island that's in a lake already. Mm? And then we'll be safe because they don't like water.
Oh, those zombies don't like water.
Yeah.
They can't...
They can't swim and do things, I suppose.
But I often talk about the zombie thing. My sister's boyfriend is... He actually had his last week in the Air Force this week. And we often talk about how we would be prepared for the zombie apocalypse. Like what we need to have, what kinds of weapons, where we would go, what you do. Because what you do in the first 6 hours is the most important thing, right? Apparently what you need to do then is you need to find an arsenal of weapons. Uh-huh. So you would raid some military place, which means you have to go in with some weapons already.
Yeah.
You need to stockpile food. You need to make sure that you have the right people. This is important. You need to have someone super smart, someone who's very strong. You need a good
combo. It's not always your family.
No.
Like, I love you guys. No. But if there's zombie apocalypse coming, man, that door's going to be shut. I'm not saying all of you. I'm not mentioning names specifically. But I'm saying there's some people that would be like, I don't want you on my team against the zombies.
But you know what? If we just take a look at the people in this studio, you are already at a disadvantage because you have children. Like, you've got people that you also need to take care of and save from the zombies. Whereas for us, we just need to save ourselves.
I'm sorry.
How much humanity would change if there's a zombie thing? Like, how much would people go, plus, it's me to myself?
And no. That's it. Like, family would fall apart. Sia, I would leave you behind.
I'd be a liability.
Massive liability.
Yeah. I'm just owning that already.
Sia would be standing on the roof of this building with a flare like Brad Pitt in that World War Z.
Yes. Or you guys could string me along just so that if you do come into a scene of danger, you would like just give me up.
Hand you over.
Yeah. I know you guys.
I'd take my buddy. I would take her. I think she's got really good survival instinct.
Well, you know what, Gareth? You have gifted me with so many weapons in the years that we've known each other.
Do you know about this? Do you know that
physical giver weapons?
Yeah. Almost every birthday she's had, or Christmas, or anything else, I buy her a new weapon for self-defense. Because
you know, 17 years is a Glock.
But listen, when she came to Johannesburg, we felt very responsible for my buddy because she was this impressionable KZN microbiologist.
And I love that story has been endeared in public for like, right. I know about it.
But she was like assaulted on the streets in her first week here. And I thought, oh, my God.
I was mugged and this kid, because that's exactly who he was. He was a kid and he was either drunk or high or both. But I'm walking. And he grabs a hold of my handbag, but then I think to myself, no, I want to hold on to it. So I hold on to the bag. Yeah. He's
what
pulling,
are you doing, weird guy?
He's pulling, I'm holding on to it. So then he drags me down onto the street, and now he's pulling at the handbag and dragging me along, but I'm still insisting on holding on to the bag.
Girl.
And then out of nowhere...
Were you screaming?
Yes, but people were kind of just moving along.
Yeah, because it's a joke.
As they do.
They had things to do.
They were like, oh, they're just having a
time. It was 11 o'clock in the day. They had things to do, though.
Wow.
So then out of nowhere, he pulls out a beer bottle and then he starts hitting me with it. So then I'm like, okay, fine, take the bag. So he takes it. And then I tell this one the story. The first weapon he got me was, you got me pepper spray first.
Yeah, then the bear claw.
Then then he got me.
Which you can use now for pulled pork and things.
And then I also have a taser.
Wow. A gun taser or one of those pokey ones?
Pokey ones.
The pokey ones.
But it's powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you need.
So Gareth has gotten me he's gotten me pepper spray, a taser, and a bear claw. The Glock will come. I feel you.
Yes.
I feel you. It will come.
I don't know that you're a
ceramic lightweight
she's
Glock.
She's not a good candidate to have a firearm.
Do you know if it's one of those real fancy ones? I suspect Mabali would be like, the first flight she can get the Glock on, she'd be like taking a selfie with it. No. I'll put the thing of like, fly mango, they let you on with shit.
She'd even just like shoot her phone for ringing, when like, she doesn't want to
answer
it. Why
did she just start wearing camo? She just wears camo all the time.
All right, do you want to know what we were talking about, the price of water and how you can buy these really expensive bottles of water? All right, the most expensive substances in the world. I'll give you the price. If you don't know what it is, stop me. Saffron costs...
Per gram.
$11 a gram.
Mm.
Saffron, they use it to flavor food, right?
Jeez.
The stamen of the crocus flower.
There we go.
Ooh. Ooh.
Gold is $56 a gram. That's at number 15.
Mm-hmm.
Rhodium is another metal. That's at 14. That's $58 a gram. Platinum and rhodium.
The tears of Rhodes students, by the way.
Where would I find rhodium?
In what
with
kind
platinum.
Of... Okay.
It's usually that they mine the two together. Rhodium's a little rarer than platinum. What they use rhodium for is for dental mirrors, because it's the most reflective metal of all.
Oh.
And it's also used, you know, that very shiny...
They missed it. Right? They could have called it merodium.
Merodium, yeah. You know those very, very shiny costume jewelry things? that looked like they're shinier than silver.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's rhodium.
Like super secret.
But they use like a tiny layer of it because it's so expensive, but it shines like you can't believe. Mm. All right, then platinum. Then methamphetamine at $100 a gram.
Crystal meth.
Crystal meth.
Drugs.
Rhinoceros horn, $110 a gram.
For erectile dysfunction and all
correct.
Of that.
Correct. And of course, nothing because it's keratin like your nails in your hair.
Yeah.
Heroin is $130 a gram. That's at number 10. Mm. Number 9 is cocaine, $236 a gram. LSD at $3,000 a gram comes in at number 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that LSD is more expensive than cocaine and heroin.
What?
Right.
Huh.
Plutonium is number 7. Now look at the skyrocketing price. All right. We've gone from 3,000. LSD at 3,000, 4,000 for plutonium.
What does that do?
It blows shit up.
basically for nuclear weapons. Yeah. That's all. It's actually a silvery white metal, but they use it for spacecraft, for nuclear energy, and for atomic bombs. Pinite, P-A-I-N-I-T-E, is $9,000 a gram. It is a stone that is so rare, very few people even know it exists. A mineral of an orange or reddish-brown color. Was only discovered 65 years ago, and there are just a couple of hundred of these in the world today. Pionite.
Hmm.
I didn't know
about
that. But
what is it? Any use to it, or is it just super
jewelry.
Rare?
Just jewelry. Okay, so $9,000 a gram. Tephite, which is $20,000 a gram, or $4,000 a carat. It's a precious stone of a violet, pink, red, or white color. It is a million times rarer than diamonds.
Whoa.
But you know the weird thing, the misnomer is people think diamonds are rare. Diamonds are not rare. Diamonds are just really well marketed.
Yeah. Correct. It's not very popular when it comes to jewelry. It's probably the reason it's inexpensive by comparison because a lot of people don't even know about it. Tritium is 30 trillion is the Gupta's company.
Yes.
That's probably worth the most. That's the most expensive substance. $30,000 a gram tritium. It's used in lighting, for example, tritium illumination. It costs $15 million to produce a pound of tritium, and it's a gas, so it's not even. Diamond is up there at $55,000 a gram, and that's because it's marketed well. So that's an inflated price. Californium, which is a chemical element. It's the most expensive chemical element you could buy. It has only been synthesized once since its discovery in 1950, and it is difficult to make because you have to bombard atoms of another element to make it, and then you only get the tiniest amount. And then they say that the most expensive...
What's the price of that californium?
Oh, sorry, didn't I tell you? $25 to $27 million a gram. But nobody makes it in any significant quantities.
Or because it has no specific use.
It has no use. It would be a rarity. Antimatter, $62.5 trillion a gram if we had to make it. Because we haven't made significant amounts of it at all, it would be dangerous to. At the beginning of the universe, there was matter and antimatter, and there was just a little bit more matter. Than antimatter, which is why everything exists.
Oh, so that's what mattered.
That's what mattered.
Uh-huh.
But if you had this stuff, it would annihilate all the matter.
Sure.
So, it's the most expensive substance on Earth. Producing just 1 milligram of this costs $25 million. In theory, we would be able to use antimatter as fuel for spacecrafts in the future. But the drawback is that to just make 1 gram of it, all of mankind would have to work for about a year without rest. So,
okay.
I don't think we need some of that.
Not a good investment, no.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
Fast forward.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah.
So when we think about expensive stuff, that's what people would pay huge amounts of cash for.
Antimatter.
Yeah. So they'll pay for something that doesn't technically exist.
Well.
Like you can't hold it.
It's something that wouldn't, you wouldn't hold it. If you held it, it would annihilate you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so there's this guy I follow on Twitter. You probably know Tyson deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse Tyson,
sorry. And he has some great little chirps because, people throw scientific things out in the world and we soak it up as pop culture or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dispels it. So he goes, a letter of warning. drops of Jupiter in your hair is not a good idea because it's at 13,000 bars of pressure and is highly flammable at 45 million centigrade.
Thanks
or something.
For ruining that.
Like, drops of Jupiter in your hair.
Back in the atmosphere with drops of Jupiter in her hair.
Like, yeah, not a good idea.
That's a real version.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Silly. That's brilliant. All right. Who wants to play a game?
Yes.
Okay.
Got enough time for a game here. Amanda has come up with a game. Amanda, do you want to introduce this to us quickly this morning? You've come up with some ideas. All right.
Yes. This is a yes. fun fact guessing game.
A fun fact.
So is it facts or guesses?
Well, it's like you need to pick the correct answer out of three options.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Let's start with rapping.
Are we each going to get a question?
You're each going to get a question.
All right. Do you want me to be the quiz master or are you going to do this?
No, I can do it.
All right. Let's go, Amanda.
Okay.
Start with Rabin.
Yeah.
Right. When hippos are upset, their sweat turns sweet or into thick mud or red.
Their sweat turns red, sweet or into thick mud.
Their sweat
That's
turns
correct.
Red.
Wow.
Oh. Did you know that or did you
I
guess?
Have a son who's hippo obsessed.
What?
So I was watching a thing like a week ago.
What a thing to be obsessed with.
He loves animals. So it's hippos this week. Next week it's giraffes.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Some point will be.
So their sweat turns red.
Wow.
I've never even seen visuals of that.
That's interesting.
You maybe don't want to see a visual of that.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to be watching a hippo get upset.
That's not a fact I knew. All right, Amanda, what else have we got?
All right. This question will be for Sia.
Okay.
If carrots were never always orange, what color were they? Purple or green or yellow?
Yellow, purple, or green. Carrots weren't always orange.
I would say yellow.
Wrong.
Is it blue?
Purple.
Oh, my.
Carrots purple used to be purple?
They did.
Huh. There's another interesting thing.
Yeah.
All right. And then this one's for Gareth. Betty White is older than Heidi Klum or Frank Sinatra or sliced bread.
Wait a minute.
Well, she's older than she's definitely older than Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
I mean that's easy.
Is Frank?
Am I only allowed to choose one?
Only one.
Is Frank still alive?
No.
No, Frank's dead. She would have been younger than Frank, and I think she's slightly younger than sliced bread. I'd say it's got to be Heidi Klum. Heidi Klum's in her 40s. Right?
No, but she's older than. So oh, Betty White is older than.
Oh, oh.
So is she older than Heidi Klum or Frank Sinatra or sliced bread?
But she's older than Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
That's a dumb question.
It's a tricky one. But
no, it's not a tricky.
True, because basically, if you answer Heidi
Klum,
can
get in front of your microphone, you idiot.
Sorry. I told you, this is not how I function.
Screaming from the back of the room.
In this corner of the warehouse. If you just said he's just older than Heidi Klum, then you answer the question correctly because then it doesn't matter about the other.
Doesn't matter about the other two.
Rephrase the question.
Unless
that wasn't rephrased well. Then okay, but it's sliced bread.
Because sliced bread is how old?
It's
older than Betty White.
Younger than Betty White.
In other words, she's older than sliced bread.
Yes.
Okay, but then you couldn't have put Heidi Klum in there. Should have gone with Jenny Chris Williams. Then it would have been much more of a contest.
Or Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I was watching Britain's Got Talent. She's the first person I looked at on the TV.
All right. Okay. Well, she's young.
All right.
Does she look old to you?
Yeah, she does.
Who, Betty Klum?
My goodness.
Man, these millennials.
Wow, she's great.
Okay, and then this is for Sia, the Spice Girls.
Wait, Mabali hasn't had a question.
Oh, Mab, sorry.
Jesus,
I'm
your
so
hatred
sorry.
For Mabali has shone okay. through.
So you know the game Mario?
Yes. Yes.
Mario hits blocks with his big toe, or his hand, or his head.
His head.
His hand.
What?
He jumps like this. You should play more TV games.
All right, so 1 point for Rabin, 1 point for Gareth. How many more questions have we got?
Still got a few.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so see, the Spice Girls didn't. So you need to tell me what they didn't do.
Okay.
They didn't pick their own names. They didn't like each other, or they didn't drink alcohol.
They didn't pick their own names.
Oh, well done.
Oh.
I know. Oh, this is so horrible. Never
tell
mind.
Us. You know yeah. some details?
So predictable.
I knew about the ready sweat hippo thing, so you can only get better.
Because this, I just Googled Spice Girls trivia. They were sitting around and they didn't exactly know what to call themselves. So there was like a record exec who just said like, okay, you're this, you're this, you're this. And that's it. So there's no great grand backstory to how scary is
so
actually
poor Mel
scary.
B. I mean, yeah, Mel B's Scary Spice. Yeah. I mean, what a thing to call a woman when she's sitting in front of you with her friends and you call the one baby and the other one ginger.
And she's obviously not the Caucasian one.
Yeah, and you call her scary.
Hey?
But I mean, what a racial reinforcement that is. Yeah. You know, like,
and
hello.
She was the one that wore leopard print and she always, like, she wore... She,
and her hair was always...
Hair. Big, big hair.
And she likes threesomes. Yeah, we know that about
the young nanny and
she was married to Eddie Murphy at some point as well.
That's right.
Yeah, she was.
But he did her bad.
She got.
I don't think so. I think come on, that.
Like he denied that he had impregnated her, right? He said, "No, I'm not the father," but he was.
But that's how you get.
He's
great
got a lot of
alimony.
Kids.
Yeah, that's his problem.
He got like 11 kids.
He loses track.
Yeah.
How many kids he has. That's why you
imagine
denied being the father.
In fatherhood that you don't even know.
Well, Jacob Zuma doesn't know how many kids he has. All right. Two more questions. One more question each. So we've got one.
I've had my second.
I can have my second.
Yeah.
Go, Rabin.
Okay, Rabin. Donald Trump's middle name is John or Billion or Spencer?
John.
Oh, well done.
All right, very nice. It was an easy one,
Donald
my
Donald J. Trump, yeah.
All right, who's
me?
Yeah, it's me. You're really good. You're good at this quizmaster thing. All right, Mabali, go.
Okay, the French word... Okay, this is a golf question. It was for Ben, but I didn't know he's not here. So now,
okay.
For Mabs, the French word cadet means youngest child and is where the word caddy comes from. So you know you have a caddy in golf.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that true or is that false?
False.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just tell me.
It's true.
Oh, it wow. For me, it was a lot of explanation for something to be false. You really put effort into letting us know the whole story.
Plus, I mean...
So it's French and it means youngest child.
Cadet.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, and then last one for Gary.
Me, yeah.
George Harrison was stabbed in the arm... Or one time, or seven times by an intruder.
What, he was... Hang on a second. What are you asking me?
Okay, so George Harrison was stabbed.
Yeah?
That's now, that's a statement.
Okay, so I have to tell you whether he was stabbed in the arm.
In the arm, or was he only stabbed one... So, was he stabbed in the arm? Okay, was he stabbed one time?
Amanda, this is not...
Yeah, no,
why do I get
seven
such
times.
Fucked up questions from you?
Because you're the very smart one. Okay, so... Was he stabbed one time or seven times by an intruder?
Why are there now two options?
I'd say seven.
Seven times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be a story.
And he'd still be alive.
Yeah. All right, I like that. Well, he wasn't killed.
Oh, he was. Oh,
no,
was
no, he wasn't killed. It was an attack. He was attacked. I mean, listen, being a Beatle, the only one who really hasn't had any trouble is Ringo, because nobody cares about Ringo.
Yeah, shame.
Oh. They don't. Nobody's.
The
nobody's,
drummer.
Yeah,
the drummer,
thanks,
yeah.
Amanda. That was sort of 5 degrees of fun.
He's still alive.
It's
right.
Friday.
Amanda, you must come up with a name for that, like Amanda.
The Amanda.
Quiz.
Yeah, the Amanda quiz. That's what we're gonna call it. Oi, Jonathan Witten, Roman. They're here. They're obviously here for a pre-record this morning.
Oh.
Let me just check in with them quickly because I want to find out what they're up to. And they very, very seldom pop by when we're on the air live. How are you two?
Well, thank you.
Good. You sound very happy this morning, Jonathan Witt. You sound excited to be alive.
Very. Yeah, over the moon.
I can tell. Roman, what's happening, dude?
This is the most excited I've ever heard, Jonathan.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you believe he's up this early? Were you working through the night again on patients?
No, tonight.
Oh, tonight you're working through the night.
Can't wait.
Fridays are really fun at the hospital, aren't they?
Pregnant ones as well. You know, my favorites.
So what happens this evening at the hospital? Are you going to be dealing with trauma?
Do you want them to write another Daily Maverick article about me and my misogyny, Gareth?
Oh.
If I talk about...
about
all the women
coming in and birthing children?
Yep.
Okay. What about the drunk people who come into the hospital?
Not my problem tonight. Someone else's issue.
Normally the dads.
Now, I can't help but noticing that your guest is a very famous man. this morning.
He is indeed. Yeah? We have Advocate Kerry Noel on the show. We're recording today, but we'll release on Tuesday.
Very good. All right. Cool. Nice.
So if you don't already listen to the Renegade Report, now's a good time to start.
There we go. Thank you very much,
here's
gentlemen.
My plug.
All right. Cheers. Very good. Have fun. There's Kerry Noel, who's they're going after Dudu Zanezuma. Interesting stuff, huh?
I like this whole dynamic of public prosecution. It just kind of...
You mean private prosecution?
Private prosecution. It just adds like another level of wonderful weirdness that we have in this country. Where we're like, if the cops don't lock these people up, guess what? I will. Yeah, and I'm allowed to.
Yeah, we'll find a way of doing this even if you don't want us to. Yeah. God, all we have to do is go after number one, though. I mean, like we were saying earlier.
Oh, Baba got Duduzan.
Yes. Is it bad that I just have the song
know,
now ringing
what,
in my
that's
head?
That's what happened to
that.
Me as well.
All right. What else is in the news? We seem to be, we go off on tangents here.
Well, we were talking about zombies earlier. So we might as well keep in line with that kind of freakish talk. Because there is a town in the central Mozambican province of Zambezia that has fallen into utter chaos, according to local police. And this is because of severe rioting caused by rumors that vampires are active.
Oh, no.
Oh.
In the area. But not only that, the vampires are conniving with government officials to drink the townspeople's blood.
I just thought this was going to take a different spin. You were like, and the vampires are conniving with government officials to steal airtime. Another thing, I'm like, now people are really upset. Take the blood, but leave my gigabytes.
Rioting in the town was so serious that the district administrator of the town has been forced to flee.
Man. Vampires.
According to the Zambezia electronic newspaper...
Oh.
It doesn't even sound like a real place.
It's a name that I'm not going to try and pronounce. It's spelled TXOPELA. That's the name of the newspaper.
Xoxopia.
There you go. You see now. The disturbances seem to have begun last week when a mob attacked the home of a businessman who has been accused of being a vampire. The crowd looted his shop. They vandalized the homes of one of the administrative people there.
Okay, I can understand someone going, hey, he's a vampire. And they go, don't accuse him of being a vampire. He's got to show proof. There's got to be some burden of proof. He's got to go, look at my teeth. Look at my neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, there's my kids.
Yeah.
You're buying Mealy Pup from me. This is.
Five people ended up being arrested for spreading rumors about vampires and also inciting the disorder that has overtaken the town.
Hey. This is madness. Someone's got to walk in there.
I mean, you know what?
Sit these people down and say to them, listen.
Do you know what I want?
Where was
I want,
it?
I want a real vampire to rock up just to go, this is what the shit's about, guys.
No.
And pop, 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 bang!
This is,
then it's over. Then Bizia and say mood.
This to me makes complete sense, and it's all in line. We were talking about zombies earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In Escort, they're dealing with a cannibalism problem.
Yeah.
Why can't they have vampires in Mozambique?
2 months ago, if you told
How
me that
How dare
they
you people
are...
laugh at this
no,
story?
Because
this is serious.
Zombies and vampires... cannibalism, we understand.
How do you understand? Please,
because
the floor
we already
is yours.
Eat. It's hard. The burden of proof is easy to go. This guy is eating another person's leg. I can see. Take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But a vampire that only comes out at night, but in the day, is a guy that runs a general dealer store.
Yeah.
In a place called Zambezia.
Yes.
And the government officials are in on it.
Yes. They're conniving
and then the zombies?
With the government sense. Officials. And they're drinking the townspeople's blood. So you can understand somebody eating someone's leg.
Where are they getting this blood from?
But you refuse to accept that people could be drinking townspeople's blood.
Where's the townspeople's blood? Are they keeping the vat? Isn't it a JoJo tank? Is this put in a chava? No. Where's the blood?
That makes sense to me.
All right, let me quickly tell you about this. You can sign up to our newsletter. That's the cliffcentral.com newsletter. All you have to do is go onto our website and click on sign up in the menu. It's up on the right-hand side. If you haven't already, if you have already, you know how this works. Make sure that after you sign in to check your preferences so that we can make your newsletter exactly the way you like it. Tailor make it to your needs. Subscribe to your favorite shows by visiting the show podcast page on cliffcentral.com, and we will send you a reminder so that you can continue listening to a show that you didn't complete. That's opt-in only and website only. We custom create content based on your personal interests, and it's all delivered by Touchbase Pro. So go and take a look at that. In a couple of minutes' time, we will meet the author of a book, Claire Bissaka, who's written an amazing book on the South African economy, on what's been happening in the South African economy, what's happened with our finance ministry, what's going on at SARS. A whole lot of really interesting questions will be answered. So hang on for that one. That's Claire Bissaka, who is the economics editor of the Financial Mail. She will be joining us. She's just released a book.
Her book is fascinating. It's called On the Brink.
Very, very good. Okay. Anything you want to throw in at the end there, Mubs? You always have a preponderance of news stories for us. There's always so much to get through.
That's the word of the day.
You like preponderance.
Preponderance. Rabin, does that mean...
Rabin will tell you what it means.
No, I still like...
An unlimited resource?
No, just a preponderance means it's just almost too much to bear.
Well, I am
an overwhelming amount of nothingness.
I'm often described as preponderous.
Preponderous.
Well, let's keep our clothes on for this segment.
Sorry, sure. I never do.
You have a preponderance of penis.
Okay.
All right. Here's something interesting before we wrap this up. Sia had a panic attack yesterday about dropping his phone. So. This is Quibus. He says, we were driving to Mozambique a few years ago, and as we went through the mountain pass in Waterfallbuurten, my teenage son had a panic attack. He dropped his phone. Now, normally he wouldn't drop his phone, but it fell out of the window, and for some reason he was taking a photo, and he stuck his hand out of the window and dropped his phone. Mm. Being a concerned dad with a teenager, I calmly made a few statements like, are you nuts? What were you thinking? What do you want me to do about it? Where did it happen? Have you marked the spot? I'll not buy a new phone, and a whole lot of other stuff.
Being irresponsible.
When it happened, I was driving 120 kilometers an hour. And by the time I stopped, 100 meters had already passed. You can imagine the consternation in the car. A teenager going through panic. A dad trying to be calm. Mom silent. I initially refused to go and look for it. But seeing mom's face, I did it before she got the same kind of panic going. Walked back almost 150 meters. We found the battery. In the road. Then we found the cover in the tall grass. Mm. Eventually, we found another piece a couple of meters away. Needless to say, I was really angry. I got in the car, gave everybody the silent treatment. It was about 2 minutes later, I got a message on my phone. Dad, it's working.
Ah.
Imagine my relief. The phone had only a mark in the corner, and that was all. It was a BlackBerry. Surely the most robust thing in my eyes. Regards, Quibus. And there's only other one person in the whole world.
Yeah. Yay for Quibus!
Yeah, and that is Rabin.
You and right Quibus can now BB in each
we
other.
We can BB.
All right, well, big thank you to Rabin for popping by
thank
and being with us this
me,
morning.
Man. So
it's
much
been,
fun.
Yeah, it's been lots of fun having you. This has gone by like this.
Mm.
So quickly. I can't believe we've done 2 hours. And don't forget that we're also launching another episode of Freedom Versus today. Are we free to define our own identity in the way that we're perceived by others? Race, gender, purported lived experiences, privilege, victimhood. Who decides whether or not we form part of a particular social group? This is heavy stuff, but it's fascinating.
That's a lot of words.
What purpose does social group classification serve? Does a person's affiliation to a particular group give them more authority to speak on certain topics than others who are not part of that group? What tensions exist between group and individual identities? Here, this hot topic is discussed on this week's edition of Freedom Versus. It's brought to you by the Friedrich Naumann Foundation for Freedom, and it's available, as are all the episodes, on cliffcentral.com. Go and take a listen to that series, Freedom Versus. It's getting a lot of traction. People love it. Smart, Mark Oppenheimer and Gwen and Gwenya host the show. It's really, really good stuff. If you're interested in how to articulate your argument better, if you're interested in politics, if you care about things like, in this case, identity politics, you need to listen to this podcast. It's really, really good.
This is CliffCentral.com.